Let's turn in the Word to Colossians chapter 1. How funny was that last Saturday night with Joel Edwards? Because I never warn the guest speakers that we have that we cheer when we open the Bible. But I've never seen such a wonderful response. I think our media team actually captured the whole thing on camera. So we must use that next time Joel comes back, you know, to promote. But he was wonderful, was he not? And if you weren't here, because I know there's a lot of our families away on holiday, if you just come back, welcome home. And the CD and the DVD are available. In fact, the message is still online until Monday, so do yourself a favour. It was one of the most amazing messages I've ever heard on humility. And, you know, so don't be proud, have a listen to it. And check it out online. We're going to continue our series on Colossians. This is part 4 tonight. Going to spend a couple more weeks on this, and then we're launching into a series on the gifts of the Spirit as we head into the best time of the year to give gifts, and that would be Christmas. Colossians 1, picking it up at verse 13. For Jesus has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated, and this is talking about our past here before Jesus, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Just a little background here, and if you have missed any of these messages, you can catch up with them by picking up the CD. But this book was primarily written to a group of Christians in the little declining backwards town of Colossae who were free, and it's written by a guy who was, of course, Paul the Apostle, who was in jail. And Paul was in chains in jail and yet was free, and these people in Colossae were free and yet they were in jail, as it were. They were chained by false doctrine, by false teaching. And we'll unpack some of the errors that they embraced next weekend and look at their modern day counterparts, because most of these errors, unfortunately, are still alive and well. And so in this chapter, and why we're spending a lot of time in this chapter is because it's so important and so foundational. Paul is basically saying Jesus is enough. You don't need to go anywhere else for salvation, and you don't need to do anything else for salvation, because Jesus is enough. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at Jesus is enough in regard to who he is. And those verses list a whole bunch of things. He is the image of the invisible God, verse 15. He is the firstborn over all creation, verse 15. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, verse 18. He is the sustainer. Verse 17 says, in him all things hold together. And we looked at some of the things in the universe that scientists can't explain how they hold together, but they do hold together. And we know the answer. Jesus is holding it all together. He is the leader. The Bible says in verse 18 there, he is the head of the body, the church. In verse 19, he is the fullness. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus. In other words, all the fullness of the presence of God, the wisdom of God, the character of God was packaged in a person. the person that we know as Jesus Christ. The word dwell there literally means to take up residence. And so in this human body of Jesus, all of the fullness of God's presence, wisdom, and character had taken up residence. And God took up residence in a human body for three reasons. And it's those reasons we're going to unpack in the few minutes that we have together this evening around the Word. We want to look tonight at what Jesus did. And these verses tell us three of the key things that Jesus did. The first thing he did was he rescued people. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Now, let's unpack some of those words there, rescued, dominion, and darkness. The word rescued is the Greek word ruomahi, or at least that's the Australian version of it, ruomahi. And this word literally means a current of water, okay? It's a current of water. It means to rush. One of the things I love to do when I go on holiday, especially if it's available nearby, is to go whitewater rafting. It's a lot of fun. I did it a number of years ago with some friends when we were over in Bali. And then over the last couple of years, we've holidayed in Malaysia, and I've taken my two oldest daughters with me. We've got on a bus, and you go up really, really high into the mountains of Borneo, and there you join a team of people, and they all put you into these rubber rafts with oars, and off you go. And it's all very mellow to start with. It's a little deceiving. It's a little bit like when you get on one of those roller coasters, you know, and it's okay. Tick, 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 tick. This is not so bad at all. And down the other side is a little freaky. And it's like that with whitewater rafting. It's very mellow, and then suddenly you see up ahead that the water is white, which is why it's called white water rafting, I discovered. And then you take off down this kind of steep embankment of water and rocks. And you got a helmet and oars and you just kind of hang on for dear life. And I've actually got one of my holiday picks that I'm going to show you in just a moment. Has anyone ever been to see people and they've shown you their holiday picks? Yeah. I'm only going to show you one of my holiday picks tonight, but it does remind me of a time when I was with some people. In fact, it was in the early days of Bayside Church, and we were having kind of a social gathering in someone's home, and I'm sitting there, and there was one of the ladies in the church who decided to bring all of her holiday albums to show me. And she got the first one out, and I mean, I'm terribly interested, you know. Got the first one out, and she plonked it on my lap and sat next to me, and I opened it up, and I said, oh, that's really nice. And so I'm flipping them through pretty fast, and she goes, not so quickly. Flips them all back, and she wants to tell me everything on every photo, you know. And so we finally got through the first photo album. And I said, look, you know, that was just wonderful, Betty. That was her name. And I said, that was lovely, Betty. Thank you so much. She said, oh, I've got another one here. And whipped that one out. I think she had about three or four of them, if I remember correctly. And I don't think I do. And in fact, I got so bored at one stage that I got my fingernail and flipped it and tried to get two or three pages at once. And just to flip it over. And she goes, oh, you've missed one. Like, there is no escape. I'm not going to do that to you. Betty is no longer part of Bayside. In fact, we excommunicated her for being boring. No, I'm joking. The whole family moved interstate. But let me show you one of my holiday snaps tonight. Have I just said the wrong thing? There you go. No, they're a lovely family. It was just a very unfortunate event. So there we are, okay? There's me looking brave, smiling. Top left-hand corner, there's Paris and Gigi having a lot of fun. The lady in the front, by the way, is Sarah, who is a friend of ours from Italy. And some of the Regeners particularly will remember Sarah, because Sarah came over and lived with us for 3 months last year. And so she came, she actually met us in Malaysia and spent a couple of weeks there. And Eduardo is the guide, looking very strong and brave. So that was us doing whitewater rafting. And it was a tremendous amount of fun. And it was we were being rushed through water. And I give you all of that background, you can take that photo off, to give you the background of this Greek word that is used here for rescued, because it means to rush through a current of water. Jesus has literally rushed us from darkness to light. He has rushed us from one kingdom into another. He has moved us very, very quickly from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, the Son that he loves. Isn't that wonderful? The second word there is dominion. It's very interesting, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. The word dominion there means to be under superhuman mastery. Now, it would be horrible to be under human mastery. We saw in Bayside News tonight about our upcoming slavery forum and the number of people that in the world today that are still in slavery. It's absolutely horrendous. The estimated numbers are around 27 million people on planet Earth right now are in some form of slavery. Most of them are women and children. Some of you may have caught the Four Corners program on the ABC last Monday night. That talks about slavery. Even in our own city, in Melbourne, there are people in slavery in this city. On Tuesday morning, the pastors and staff gather for prayer, and members of the congregation are welcome. You are welcome if you are free at 9:15 on a Tuesday morning. And we spent a significant amount of time on Tuesday morning praying for people that are in slavery in our own city, that they will be found and set free. And we prayed for the slave traders as well, because Jesus died for them, amen? And they need to be set free as well. And I was thinking as we were praying, you know, John Newton, the slave trader, who gave us that amazing song, Amazing Grace. He was a slave trader who found the grace of God and God set him free and he became a minister. And he wrote that hymn and many other hymns. So let's pray for those people. It would be horrible to be under human mastery. There was something on the news recently where people were found in the middle of the UK, you know, Britain, in slavery, and they were discovered and they've been set free. There are people all around planet Earth right now under human mastery, and they need to be set free in Jesus' name. But how awful it must be to be under superhuman mastery. Not just a human being, but a superhuman power. And that's what that word dominion means. It is the dominion of darkness. It's the other side. It's the Darth Vader, if you like, of the spirit realm. And before we come to Jesus, we are under superhuman mastery in the kingdom of darkness. There is nothing that we can do, humanly speaking, that would ever set us free from that superhuman dominion. The dominion of darkness. The word darkness means to be overshadowed, particularly by the darkness of error. Isn't that horrible to be in darkness? You know, most nights when you get to a certain age, you wake up during the night. I know for the youth and regeners and young adults here at Bayside, this is what I'm about to say is completely outside your sphere of understanding. But this is something to look forward to in life, okay? Because there comes a day when you get to a certain age that most nights you wake up in the middle of the night because your bladder is full. Is that right? Yes. Amen, Charles. Yeah. And maybe there's a certain age where it happens two or three times. I don't know. But at least once. And you find yourself wide awake because Mother Nature is calling and she won't shut up. And so eventually, I mean, you know, I've tried different times of like trying to go back over to sleep or whatever, but it's not going to happen. And so you have to get up and answer the call, as it were. I'm trying to use good language, seeing as we're in church. And then you go back to, there's a lot of good, throwing my glasses away, it's making a spectacle of myself here. Thank you, sweetheart. She rolled her eyes, is she? And so you answer the call and then you get back to bed. But there are some nights, you know, you're in this really, really deep sleep and it's dark and you know your bedroom well, but you misjudge it and you end up walking into a wall or something. You sort of, Christy's like, what are you doing? I'm feeling my way along the wall. I'm trying to find the door. Bit of an insight into the Buckingham household at about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And sometimes I keep my mobile phone next to the bed now, which is a good thing to do. And sometimes just push the little on button and then you get a light. Isn't that good? Is that good? You were sitting there thinking, why don't you use your mobile? And as soon as the light goes on, you can see clearly because the darkness is dispelled. And it's great. Sometimes when this happens to me, I just keep one eye shut because I think if I keep one eye shut, at least I'll be like half asleep or half awake, you know, because it's all about going back to bed and actually being able to fall asleep again. Am I in good company here? Yeah, I thought so. I'm sure. Surely I'm not the only one that goes through all of this most nights. Darkness. It's horrible being in darkness. It's wonderful when a light is switched on. And that's the picture here in the original language. Jesus has rescued us from the superhuman mastery of darkness and he's turned the light on. Amen. Suddenly we can see and we've literally been uprooted or rushed from a place of danger, darkness and deception and transferred into a kingdom of light and love. Isaiah the prophet prophesied about this 800 years before it happened. In chapter 9 and verse 2 of his prophecy, he said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." This is a quick and dramatic rescue. We've seen it on TV, you know, on those programs like Special Ops and certain movies where, you know, there's someone that has been captured or a group of people and they're being held hostage and the SAS do all of their work and they find out exactly where they are and it all happens in the dead of night and the helicopters land and they're using night vision goggles and they're walking through the house and the enemy are all taken out and then they finally find the people that are hostage there in the middle of that home or property or whatever, and they're set free and they're rushed out of the place into the choppers and into another country that is going to be safe for them to be. And that's the picture of what Jesus Christ has done for each and every one of us. He's gone in and he's rescued us and he's rushed us out of the place of dominion of darkness and he's taken us into another kingdom, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Son that he loves. Isn't that great news? So that's the first thing that Jesus has done. He's rescued us. Secondly, he's redeemed us. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. In Jesus, we have redemption, and then it tells us what the redemption is. It's the forgiveness of sins. The word redeem means to pay the price to free a slave. There's that theme again. What cost is there to free people from slavery? It continues the picture of people being rescued. We were bound in slavery, but Jesus has rescued and redeemed us. He's brought us into a place of freedom. The Greek word there for redeem or redemption is apolytrosis. It means to ransom in full, or it literally means to be rid of something. Riddance, which is kind of an old word that we don't really use very much anymore. When I was a kid, the worst thing you could say, really, without getting into swearing, if you didn't like someone and you wanted them to go, was good riddance. You know? Good riddance. What are you saying? Well, I just want you to get out of here. You know, we'd say maybe, you know, nick off. Just get out. We don't like it. Is that wrong? Is it bad? Someone went, oh, like that. I didn't think, oh, did you do that? Oh, well, I do apologize. I didn't know it was a bad word. I wouldn't have used it. Oh. Good riddance. Oh. It's like if you've got ants in your house or around your house and you want to get rid of them, you get ant rid. That's right. Well done. You're a clever bunch of people. And you get the ant rid and you put it on a little saucer or something, a little container. You put it up where the ants are and the little ants come along. And it's something that they like. It's kind of sweet and sticky and they eat it all up and they take it back to their home and they feed it to the little baby ants and they all die, you know. That's a sad story, isn't it? Aww. Well, if you're going to die anywhere, dying at home is the best place, you know. And that's what this is here. It's redemption is being rid of sin. It's good riddance to all the sin. Isn't that wonderful? That's what you want to be rid of. Redemption, of course, is intimately linked with the price paid. And this price is nothing less than the death of Christ. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He gave his life. Ephesians 1, 7 and 8. In Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. What a great word that word lavish is. Lavish is a generous word, it's not stingy. And the grace of God has been lavished on us. 1 Timothy 2:5, Jesus who gave himself as a ransom for all men. 1 Peter 1:18, 19, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Redemption, of course, is explained in Colossians 1:14 as involving the forgiveness of sins. That's when we're saying good riddance to all the things that we have ever done wrong. And we can do that because of what Jesus has done for us. The word forgiveness is the Greek word aphesis, which means freedom. It means pardon. It means deliverance, remission. It's particularly in regard of being released from a debt. Understanding that many of the people that are in slavery today are in slavery because of a debt. The people that were featured on Four Corners were people that have come from other countries with a promise of a better life in Australia. And when they arrived here, they were told that they now had a big debt to pay off. And then they were taken to like a brothel or something or other and told the only way they could pay that debt off was by offering sexual services. And then they were charged exorbitant amounts for rent and for food. And if they didn't behave well, they were fined and all of that. And they were in a situation where they're under this mound of debt that, humanly speaking, may never have been paid off. What a horrible situation to be in, and yet every single one of us and every single person on this planet has actually been in that condition or is in that condition when it comes to the debt that we owe to God. Because we've broken his laws. And justice calls for a penalty when laws have been broken. And so we had this massive debt that we owed God, but Jesus came and paid the debt for us. He paid the price. How amazing it is. And I know there's people in slavery in different countries. World Vision addresses this and numerous other organizations. But when a family is struggling, sometimes they will for a loan of money, they will then give one of their kids to work in a local cottage industry. And then interest is charged. And that poor little child, maybe just 8 or 9 or 10 years of age, has to work 12 to 15, maybe 18 hours a day to try and pay off the debt. And organizations like World Vision and other organizations go in and pay the debt so that the child is set free to go back to be with their family again. How wonderful it is to pay off a debt. And that's the picture that's given to us here. It's the same language in Colossians as is used in the Old Testament in Leviticus 25 and Leviticus 27 when it's talking about the year of Jubilee. Under the Old Covenant, every 50th year, land went back to its original owner. Debts were cancelled and anyone that was a slave was set free every 50 years in the nation of Israel. What a wonderful law. I reckon that one should come back. Wouldn't that be great? Can you imagine the human race if every 50 years everything went back to a place of evenness where there was no debt? All debt was cancelled out. Forgiveness of sins is being released from the debt that we owe to God. I want you to think about this for a moment, because on a human level, when someone hurts us, we get unforgiveness toward them that says something like this: you've hurt me, I want to hurt you back. That's unforgiveness. You hurt me, I'm going to get even. Forgiveness is simply this: you hurt me, but I release you from that debt. I'm not going to get even on that. And that's what God does when he forgives us. He said, you've hurt me, you've broken my laws, But because of Jesus, I'm going to cancel the debt that you owe me. You were in slavery in the dominion of darkness, but because of Jesus, I'm going to set you free. Freedom, the forgiveness of sins. How awesome it is, church, to know that everything that we have ever done wrong, thought wrong, said wrong, is forgiven and cancelled in Jesus' name. And we then keep a short account, don't we? If you're anything like me, you blow it on a regular basis. You do something, say something, think something that falls short of the standard of God, and how wonderful it is to be able to go back to God and to confess our sins and receive forgiveness and cleansing afresh. That's what communion's all about. Just to be able to come and remind ourselves afresh of what Jesus has done and receive Him afresh into our lives, His forgiveness, the cancelling of a debt. Finally tonight, reconciled. Just go back with me to Colossians chapter 1 if you would. Colossians chapter 1. And just reread verses 20 through to 23. In verse 20 it says, through Him, through Jesus, to reconcile to Himself all things. All things. In other words, the gospel is for all people and it is for all creation. The ultimate aim of the gospel is to save people and to restore all of creation. Through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Now you could easily read over that sentence there and not realize the full import of it. Through His blood we have the cleansing from sin. In your notes I've put Hebrews 9:22. It says the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no forgiveness. Blood had to be shed for human forgiveness, and animal blood was not sufficient. It had to be the blood of a sinless man to pay the price for sinful people. And it was blood not just shed anywhere. Jesus wasn't strangled. He wasn't put on an electric chair. He couldn't have died any other way. It had to be blood shed on the cross. Because the Bible tells us in Galatians 3:13 that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. And so Jesus was hung on that wooden cross, the tree made into a cross, and He took the curse for us, the curse of the law that says no one can be saved by just doing the right thing. That's the curse of the law. Trying to keep the law, trying to cross every T and dot every I. And the Bible says if you break one law, it's like you've broken them all. Not one of us could do that. And so if we're trying to earn salvation by what we do, we just put ourselves under that curse. But when we come to Jesus who shed His blood on a cross, we are cleansed from our sins and the curse is removed. Look at verse 21. Once you were alienated from God. You were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. That's what we used to be like. But now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation. I've underlined that last little sentence in my Bible. Without blemish. Without blemish. While I was recovering from my accident, I was watching, I think it was one of the current affairs programs on TV, and there was a thing that came on washing powder. And so I called Christy because Christy loves the laundry. In fact, she calls it her office. I'm amazed, you know, because I just think a little miracle happens on a regular basis, because I put clothes in the laundry basket and then they miraculously appear back in my wardrobe clean and ironed. Like, isn't that awesome? Yeah, cool, yeah. But I know it's the hard work of this little lady here. So anyway, I called Christy in. I said, you've got to watch this thing on washing powder. And it's amazing the science that goes into a washing powder and the tests 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it's all about water quality and enzymes and all of that to try and find the washing powder that is going to give the best clean, that is going to remove every spot and blemish and put the clothes back to brand new. The number one, by the way, was Omo, just in case you're wondering. Came out top. But there is a cleaning agent that is far more powerful than that. Because Omo might be able to clean our clothes, but the only thing that can purify our minds and our hearts is the blood of Jesus. And that's why these words are so important here. Without blemish and free from accusation. I want you to meditate on those words this week. Every time you feel like you're not good enough, every time you feel like, gee, maybe God might not be able to cover that. Maybe he can't deal with this. Maybe one day, you know, I'm going to find myself standing before God and he's going to tell me, you know what, Jesus' sacrifice almost covered everything for you, but it couldn't cover that, and so you can't come into my presence. That's not going to happen. Because these words here are amazing. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, because he shed his blood for us, we are now without blemish. In your mind, in your spirit, without blemish, and you are free from accusation. So good. And then look at that next little word, if. Because that's important too. Because this is not about once saved, always saved. This is about a lifestyle of walking with Jesus, moment by moment, day by day. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. I'll just finish with these thoughts. Because this is so important. Sometimes people come to Jesus and they think, you know, and then they walk away and think that that's enough. Yeah, it's coming to Jesus, but it's walking with Jesus. This is a lifestyle. It's the same with every goal that we have. If you have a goal for a good marriage, it's not just about saying vows and then living like you want to live. Not like the guy whose wife was complaining, "You never tell me that you love me." And he says, "Well, I told you I love you on our wedding day. If I ever change my mind, I'll let you know." It's not like that. It's about ongoing. It's about telling one another you love one another. It's about doing things that demonstrate your love. It's about not doing some things that demonstrate that you don't love. It takes a lot of work to have a good marriage. It takes a lot of work to have good friendships. If you want to remain fit and healthy, it's not about just joining a gym or looking after your diet for one day. It's about a continuing lifestyle. Isn't that right? And it's the same with our Christian life. Unblemished and free from accusation if we continue in Jesus. Can I encourage each and every one? Let's continue in him. Amen. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that because of your work, we have been rescued, we have been redeemed, we have been reconciled. Thank you, Jesus. May these truths just settle into our hearts. How good it is to be unblemished, to be free from accusation. That the devil, the accuser of the brethren, has nothing on us. Because of Jesus Christ. We are no longer enemies in our minds, but we have been rushed from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son that you love. May we just appreciate our salvation afresh tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord.